Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Well, good evening. How are we doing? Let's go ahead and open up with some prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we have together. And Father, we thank you that your word says that the entrance of your word produces light. So Father, I thank you that as your word comes forth tonight, it will produce light in the dark areas of our lives. Father, I thank you that your word is the seed. And I thank you that your word's going to fall on the good soil of our hearts and produce a hundredfold return. Lord, we thank you that healing, your healing virtue, your healing power is already at work on the inside of us. And I thank you that tonight, Lord God, that we will receive all that you have for us from your word. Lord, I thank you for blessing every household represented in this room. You know exactly where each and every person is, what we need in this hour. And I thank you that you are good to us and faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's hold up our Bibles. We're going to make our confession that we always do. If you don't have a Bible, we do have some in the back that you can take with you. But if you don't have a Bible and you want to raise your hand in faith, you can do that as well. So say it with me. Say, this is my Bible. It's God's word to me. It strengthens me. It refreshes me. It's medicine to me. And I love to read my Bible. Do you love to read your Bible? Amen. The word of God, it will not return void. Amen. Well, tonight I wanted to take a different approach. I've really been hammering really in two areas this semester, and it is healing for today? Is it for everyone? And then number two, why is it that some don't get healed? And so tonight I wanted to, this is my last time teaching this semester, really kind of bring this home. And, you know, and the big question is healing for everyone? And if so, you know, why is it that some fail to receive? Well, the truth I want you to understand that healing is provided to all through Christ, but it becomes personal through faith. We have to have faith. We have to have a belief, a conviction, a confidence that healing is for me, that when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he did it for me, and my healing was purchased at that moment. Not something that I have to work for, not something that I have to convince him to do for me. It's something that's already been obtained for me. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. So where do we start? Well, we start here. Healing isn't something extra or optional. It's a part of who God is and what he's done for us. It's not a fringe doctrine, not a side topic for a few people, but it's central to what God accomplished for us. Healing is a part of the package. It's not just an emotional hope. It's not, you know, we're praying for healing and maybe God will. No, it's already been done on our behalf. Healing is rooted in who God is, his character. Why? Because he's a healer. He's a savior, but he's also a healer by nature. And just like he's loving and faithful and good, he also restores and makes us whole, makes our bodies whole. There's so many healing accounts in the scriptures. What I wanted to remind you of is we've talked about stories all throughout the years we've been doing healing class of the woman with the issue of blood, of Naaman, of the lepers. We talk about it time and time again, where Jesus healed one, where Jesus healed many, and we have to take into account that he's the same God in Scripture that he was in Scripture. In Hebrews 13:8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So our posture needs to be, God, if you did it for the woman with the issue of blood, she suffered for a very long time, but you still healed her. If you did it for Naaman, someone who in a moment of emotional frustration was angry because you didn't do it the way he wanted it done, but he came to himself and he obeyed Elijah's orders and you were able to heal him, we got to remember that he's the same God who heals us today. And I always, you know, Miss Joy or Miss Janet said it years ago, and it's always stuck to me. But the phrase was, is no matter the diagnosis, no matter how long you've been dealing with it, God still heals today. And we have to know that. We have to be convinced of that, that God still heals today, no matter what it is that I'm dealing with, no matter what it is I've been diagnosed with, no matter how long I've been dealing with it, he still heals, and he'll heal me. And we have to have that conviction on the inside of us. So is healing for everyone? The answer is yes. Healing was provided in the atonement. That word atonement is a churchy word. It's a biblical word. Atonement means the price paid to make things right again. It's the price that was paid to make things right again. I was talking to someone the other day, and he still didn't have a good grasp on the concept of atonement. And so I brought it to modern day example. And a few weeks ago, my daughter was getting ready to go on a missions trip to Guatemala. And, you know, the fact that my 23-year-old was going to be in another place, and I needed to be in contact with her if she needed something. And I saw her phone, and I quickly got a little concerned because you could barely see the screen. I mean, it was shattered from the center all the way out. And I asked her, I said, "No wonder you don't answer my texts. You can't see them." And she goes, "Well, yeah, because sometimes when I try to respond, it starts blinking and it shuts off. And sometimes I'll say, 'Call Dad,' and it calls work." And I'm like, "What? How long have you been dealing with this?" And she says, "Oh, I shattered it about a year ago." I'm like, "Oh, my word." So I have this shattered phone. So imagine that you drop your phone and it's shattered just like my daughter. So your screen is just messed up. And it still kind of works like hers did. And, you know, it was funny because she was scrolling up, and every time she scrolled up, the screen went down. I thought, this is crazy. This is not how it's supposed to work, but it was still somewhat working. But to her, to me in that moment, it's frustrating, it's damaged, and it's limited. That's like our lives sometimes because of sin and because of sickness and disease. Things still kind of function, but it's not what God intended for us. Now, what did I do? Well, he took the phone to get repaired because it didn't make any sense for her to continue navigating with that phone the way it was in its current condition. And when we took it to get repaired, there was a cost for it. But to her delight, she didn't have to pay for the cost. I took care of it. I covered the complete cost of it. And when she got it back, it was made whole. It's the same way. When it comes to sickness and disease, the cost has already been covered. Payment's already been made. And so all you and I have to do is receive what's been done for us. We don't have to try to make healing happen. We don't have to work for it. It's already been paid. God doesn't want you to function like that phone and it's functioning incorrectly, but it works a little bit. No, God wants you to have life and have it more abundantly. And so always remember that healing has been purchased for me during the atonement, during the time when Christ went to the cross for me. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 says, "Surely he has borne my griefs and carried my sorrows, and by his stripes I am healed." Surely. I always say this, what does that word surely mean to you? And that's a question. What does it mean? Without a doubt? What else? Anything else? It's a fact. So without a doubt, it's a fact that he bore my griefs and carried my sorrows. And without a doubt, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. That's how we have to walk in life. That's how we have to approach this walk with God. In Matthew 8, 16 and 17, it says, Matthew tells us Isaiah's prophecy was fulfilled through Jesus' ministry. It was fulfilled. It was completed. And so healing belongs to us. And then 1 Peter 2, 24 just confirms that. It says, "By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed." I love that. It says past tense, you were healed. It's a finished work. It's already done. And so we have to hold on to that truth that healing is as much as a part of the redemption as forgiveness is. When we come to Christ, we don't give a second thought. We've made Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, and so we have confidence that we are saved, that we are a child of God. Well, in the same way, we have to have the same confidence that we are healed and made whole. Let the Word of God be the final voice or be the ultimate voice that you follow. Not some man or woman, not the internet, but the Word of God. Have its final say in your life. So let's look at Jesus' ministry, his healing ministry. In Acts 10:38, it says, Jesus healed all who were oppressed by the devil. In Matthew 4:23 and 24, he says, he went about healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And then in Luke 6:19, it says, power went out from him and he healed them all. So we see this. He heals every person. He heals all diseases, and it's consistent all throughout the scriptures. That's what he did. Every person, every disease. So there's a pattern there. We see Jesus never turned anybody away. Nowhere in scripture did anyone who come to him for healing, for deliverance, did he say, no. It says he healed all who came to him. Never in the scriptures, in the New Testament, Old Testament, did we see where when Jesus is healing people, he confirms that this sickness comes from me. There's this idea that God is placing sickness on people to teach us a lesson, to get our attention. That's not the motives or the actions of a good and faithful God. No, he's the one who comes to lift sickness off of us, to heal every disease. And then the third thing is he never chose not to heal someone who came in faith. He never chose not to heal them who came in faith. Why? Because God's nature is to heal. That's who he is. In Psalm 103, 2 and 3, it says, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. That's who he is. He forgives all of our iniquities and heals all of our diseases. In Exodus 15, 26, he says, I am the Lord who heals you. This is who I am. I am the Lord who heals you. So this tells us, and then in John 6, 37, he says, him that comes to me, I will in no way cast out. And so when we come to the Lord, he's always receptive. And so when you get a diagnosis, when sickness comes upon your body, I would always tell you, go to him. Don't go to your family history. Go to him. Don't go to WebMD. Go to him. Because he will not cast us out. Healing is God's revealed will, grounded in his character, fulfilled in Christ, and offered to all who come to him. And so we have to know that healing is for us. Healing was made available to us. Healing belongs to us. It's a part of the package. So point to yourself for me right now. Let's point to myself and say, healing is for me. Now point to your neighbor and say, healing is for you. Healing is for all of us. Let's turn to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. We're going to read verses 40, 41, and 42. It says, now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Look at that. Someone who had no business coming to Jesus came to him. He had no business because he was a leper, and in that time they were not supposed to be around others. But he came to Jesus. Jesus didn't cast him out. And I love that. He says, Lord, if you are willing. And Jesus answered, I am willing. Do you know he's still willing today? Do you know he still heals and cleanses today? And if he did it for the leper, he'll do it for you. And so we have to understand leprosy at that time meant isolation, rejection, and hopelessness. The leper knelt before Jesus and said, if you will, you can make me clean. And what happened? He was made clean. This man was somewhat like us, how we're unsure of God's will, not sure if he will or he won't. But Jesus removed all doubts when he said, I will. Faith grows strongest where the will of God is settled. And so we have to settle within ourselves that it is God's will. And it's God's will to heal me. That has to settle within you. You know, when I first came to this class all those years ago, it was unsettled. I wasn't in an environment where they talked about the healer, who Jesus was. And so this whole concept was new to me. But what did I do? I, number one, was determined that I was going to be consistent to come into an environment where faith was taught, where the Word of God was taught. And as the Word of God came forth, I began to focus in on the Word. Why is that important? Focusing in on the Word. You know, the Bible says that, or the Lord says that, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return void, but it will accomplish for the very purpose and intent that I sent it. And then in Psalm 107:20, we see where God sent his word to heal us. And so as the word's coming forth, it's producing, it's doing something. And that's a hard concept to grasp for a lot of people, which I think now for me is puzzling. And why do I say that? It's because here, most people, when we have a headache, we'll go to the cabinet, we'll get some Tylenol, Excedrin, or aspirin, or whatever, we'll pop the pill, we won't give a second thought, we'll just wait for it to kick in. We're not sitting in our living room saying, is it going to work, or is it not going to work? Am I good enough for it to work? Did I sin today? We don't even go down that path. We put the pill in our mouths, and we just not give it a second thought. We sit down, we lay down, until it works. Well, we need to approach the Word of God the same way. And as we take in God's Word, as we hear God's Word, we need to make it our own. You know what? By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. You know what? The Word of God, the healing power of God's at work in me, bringing about a healing and a cure in me. We need to begin personalizing it, taking it in. I believe, 3 or 4 weeks ago, Miss Joy taught, and she talked about gospels, which is still kind of funny when you listen to it. But it's the same thing. Take it in and allow it to work. Don't question it. Don't second guess, because God's will is for his word to work and for us to be healed. Does that make sense? And so, I'm going to say it again. Faith grows strongest where the will of God is settled. We have to settle within ourselves that it is God's will to heal, and it is God's will to heal me. Now, your faith is your faith. Your faith is based upon God and his word. Your faith is not based upon your family history, your family members who died of cancer, the person you worked with in the cubicle next to you who died of a serious disease. Your faith is not based on any of that. Your faith is based on God and his word alone. Meaning, God, I am convinced. God, I trust you. God, I have an assurance that you are who you say you are, the healer, and that you, when Jesus died on the cross, healing was purchased for me. Your faith is in all of that, not in family history, not in statistics. You don't place your faith in that. You place your faith in God and God alone. Does that make sense? And this dance that we do as Christians, we live in two worlds. We have to make a decision where we are going to anchor ourselves and stay there. And as men and women, children of God, I want to encourage you, choose the Lord. Anchor in Him. Anchor in His Word. And allow His Word to settle in you that healing is for me. That healing is in me. And that will help you. So now, why do some fail to receive healing? The Bible talks about lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." But we need to understand that if we're not going to be destroyed, then we have to grow our faith. And so Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." I like to say it like this: faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing. We need to be constantly hearing the word of God. Constantly, nonstop. And a very good indicator of where you're at is what comes out of your mouth. Like what is the first response that comes out? If it's not the word, then I would encourage you to spend just a little bit more time in an environment where there's faith. Where do you get that from? You come to church on Sundays or Wednesdays, the word of God's coming forth. You read your Bible, Bible 365, as Pastor says every week. I would encourage you, read it out loud. There's something about hearing your own voice speaking the word of God. And what happens is your faith gets stronger and stronger and stronger. You know, I started this out saying God was no respecter of persons. I love it when I come to classes like this or I sit in a service and I hear about the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God. Why? Because when I hear that, I'm thinking, man, God, if you did that for them, you can do that for me. If you did that for them, you will do that for me. What's happening? My faith is growing. And so stay in the Word of God. Stay in an environment where the Word of God's coming and your faith will get strong. And if we don't know what God promised, we can't confidently believe for it. And the only way you're going to know what God promised is to get in His Word. My faith took off. It was funny. When I first came, you know, Miss Joy and Miss Janet would give worksheets sometimes. And then one week they didn't have any worksheets. And I'm like, what? In my mind, I'm like, I got to write this stuff down. And I'm thankful for that week because I was writing notes down. And as I wrote notes down and they were talking about something, a word would jump out. And I'm like, And I'd circle that word. And then I start thinking about that word. And then I'm like, wait, Lord, that means. And now it was like almost like while they're teaching, the Lord's talking to me about me. And so we've got to take ownership and responsibility of our own faith. These notes are great. But I'd much rather God talk to me and give me revelation and show me, based upon the scriptures, truly what He's saying in His Word. And He'll do that. And my faith began to grow. And then what they were saying, I could truly see in my life more clear than before, because I was now writing notes in a way that I could clearly understand what they were saying. And it was almost like it was my spirit was getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And the doubts that used to come and hit my mind didn't bother me anymore. It's almost like these bugs that we got here in Houston. I have to say we now, because early on I'd say y'all, but I understand the whole water bugs on the tree and everything, but these love bugs still freak me out. I've been here almost 20 years, and love bugs, if you want to see something funny, see me outside cutting grass and love bugs flying all over. I'm screaming like a little baby, and it's bad. Those are not nice. But here's the deal. I don't, when I'm cutting grass, let love bugs just settle on me and just stay there. I'm flicking them off. I'm flailing. I'm getting, because they don't belong on me. When doubt and unbelief come, we got to throw that stuff off. But we are going to be stronger, in a stronger position, if we have the Word of God on the inside of us. Does that make sense, guys? And so get the Word on the inside of you. We talked about doubt and unbelief. Mark 6, 5 and 6 and Matthew 13, 58. Jesus, it shows in both of these accounts that His ministry was limited by unbelief. Didn't mean He lacked power, but what He was able to do in the lives of those people was because of their unbelief. And I made a note here. I put, God's power is unlimited, but our reception is not. We've got to make sure that we have more faith than anything. There's no room for doubt and unbelief. James 1, 6 and 7 says, but let him ask in faith, not wavering, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So I want to talk a little bit about this and break this out, because here's where I find a lot of us struggle is the wavering part. So the first thing here is we want to settle the matter of faith on the inside. We've got to remind ourselves that this diagnosis is just information. It's not my identity, and it's not what God has for me. I'm going to say that again. This diagnosis is information. It's not my identity, and it's not what God has for me. God's word has final authority over my body. His word does. Then we have to learn how to acknowledge the facts without surrendering our faith to them. There's this funny video. I teach a marriage class here. It's a funny video. It's called Nail in the Head. And this husband and wife are sitting on the sofa talking. And it's a silly video, but the wife has a nail in her head. And she's talking, and she's trying to express some emotions. And the husband's like, well, honey, if you just take the nail out of your hand. And she's like, no, just listen. You don't understand. And he's like, no, there's a nail literally in your head. She's like, no, you don't understand what I'm saying. And he goes, no, dear, I do. There's a nail in your head. Just if you would just take the nail out of your head, things would be better. And she's like, no, you don't understand. And so sometimes what we do is because in this video, she actually had a nail in her head. With us sometimes, you know, our foot's broken and it's swollen. And sometimes we can swing the pendulum all to the other side. And someone will say, oh, man, your foot's broken. No, it's not. And I'm like, no, it actually is broken. But how we approach it is the Lord's healing my foot. And so we don't want to get weird about it. We just want to make sure that we stand on the side of faith. Your faith in God and His word is not denial, but we're exercising our faith and we're choosing God's word as the final verdict. So then we want to ask God in faith without wavering. We want to boldly declare, Father, I come to you believing, not wondering, because you revealed your will and your word, that you are my healer and healing has been provided for me in Christ. We want to say something like that out of our mouth in faith. And what you're doing is you're not asking if God will heal, but what you're saying is I know what you've already promised is available and made, and been given to me. We're making a bold declaration. We also want to make a clear, steady confession. We don't want to be double-minded. Every day when you get up, I encourage you to say, Lord, I thank you that by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. Every day. Lord, I thank you that by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed. I refuse to partner with doubt, fear, or hopelessness, and I stand firm in what you have said. What are you doing? You're anchoring yourself in the Word of God. You're placing your faith in Him and Him alone. Because in James, he warns against going back and forth. And what does that look like? Sometimes we're like, oh, I know God heals, but I'm probably going to be stuck with this for the rest of my life. Oh, I know God is no respecter of persons, but maybe I'm called to deal with this for the remainder of my life. My uncle dealt with it, and he lived a decent life. You got to be careful. You need to stay on the side of truth. Stay on the side of the word. And then we want to guard our words after the prayer. Instead of, I guess we'll see what happens, or I don't know why God let this happen, or I'm trying to believe, how about you say, I'm standing with God. I'm standing with His word, and I remain confident in Him. Or how about, Jesus, I know you healed me. I know your healing power is working in me. You're a God who cannot lie. You're good and you're faithful to me. We want to stay there at all times. And then we want to stand patiently, not anxiously. We want to remind ourselves not to cast away our confidence, whether healing is instant or progressive, but we want to remain unwavering. There is a waiting period. There's something about that word waiting people don't like, and we'll talk about that here in just a minute. We want to continue in wisdom and not fear. Faith and wisdom are not opposites. They're the same thing. James 1, 6, and 7, it tells us we want to follow, from a practical standpoint, we want to follow the medical counsel as needed, but we don't want to speak fear. We don't want to let the symptoms dictate our belief, and we don't want to re-pray from doubt. We want to pray from a space of faith at all times. And so we want to always remember that double-mindedness does nothing. We want to stay on the side of faith no matter what. And so faith, always remember that faith is settled, faith is consistent, and faith is anchored to the Word of God. That word anchor being the key. If you're anchored to the Word of God, that means you are stable, you're fixed, and nothing can harm you. I remember hearing a story years ago about a pastor and his wife who went on a trip to Italy. And I've never been overseas in Italy, so I don't know. But they were in some beautiful, large body of water one of the days on their trip. And they said that there were several other yachts out there. And they said this day was perfect, that everyone was swimming and snorkeling, and the water was just still. It looked like glass. You saw the reflection of the mountains on the water. And he said the whole time they were having just a great time. And one time he climbed into the boat and he was looking at the captain of his boat and wondering why he was so preoccupied with the sensors and listening to the radio. He says, and about an hour later, all of a sudden he saw his captain putting on some gear and he began to dive under the boat. And what the captain was doing, the captain began to anchor and secure their boat with five different anchors in the spot that they were in. And he said he and his wife were sitting on the edge of the boat and they were watching how the other boat captains were laughing and mocking the captain and making fun of them, only to find out later that night that a severe hurricane had come into the area and began to blow around the area. And so they were all hunkered in their boat, the two of them with their boat captain. He said, and I remember this pastor saying, he said, I was terrified. All I could do was watch. He said, there was like this little compass thing that was just spinning in circles, you know, for hours on end. And he said he was terrified. He said, you know, all he kept saying was Jesus, Jesus all night long because he was horrified. But he said the next morning, when everything had subsided and stopped, they all went out. And to his surprise, all the other boats were broken in half, capsized. Some were on the land. The people were standing on the land and their boat had not been touched. He said, I think he said like a little radio, like the antenna tip of it broke off. But other than that, everything was intact. And he said it was because the captain of the boat anchored his boat ahead of time. And so when the storm came, they were prepared. Well, for you and I, we have to be anchored in the Word of God at all times. So when the diagnosis comes, when the symptoms come, when the pain comes, we will find ourselves stable and secure because it will pass. Healing is a part of the covenant. Healing belongs to you and I. Healing cannot stay. And so we have to remain anchored and fixed at all times in His Word. And so our confession is one way that we can do that. Proverbs 18:21 says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Our words are important. And so 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we believe, therefore we speak. Understand, with our words, faith is not denial of symptoms. It is agreement with God's word about the symptoms. And so we want to make sure we have a built-in response. I've told the story in here about my uncle. I think the first time I taught about when he was in that huge car wreck, and he broke his neck and spine, and they told him he had the same injury as Christopher Reeve, and if he moved wrong, he would be paralyzed. And I loved his response. He said, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. And person after person, doctor after doctor came in that room and tried to get him to understand and get him to agree with them, and he never did. He stayed on that scripture. He was anchored on that scripture that by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. And then his loving nephew, even when he came home and he had moved and taken the halo off, I said, what are you doing? You might set yourself back and hurt yourself. And he looks at me, family member, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. And he kicked me out of the house. But what was going on there? He was anchored in the Word of God. He knew what Jesus had done for him. He refused to accept an alternative. He chose only to accept the truth of what the Word of God says. And the Lord healed his body. He wasn't paralyzed. I still remember seeing images of that car. There's no way he should have gotten out. But that's what God does when we choose to speak according to his word. And then we're going to have patience and perseverance. Hebrews 10, 35 and 36 says, do not cast away your confidence. Faith and waiting go hand in hand. We have to know that. Faith and waiting go hand in hand. This scripture is not in your notes. Hebrews 11, 1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's what faith is. You're not worried about what's going to happen. You're not trying to figure out how it's going to happen. There's just a trust and assurance that it's going to take place. Anybody in here like going to Texas Roadhouse and eating all the rolls and taking the rest of your food home? So when I go to a restaurant and I place my order, once I've placed my order, I don't give it a second thought worrying about, is the food going to come? What's going on in the back? What's happening? I don't. The order's been placed. Things are happening behind the scenes. I'm confident that at the right time, my plate will be delivered to my table. I don't give it a second thought. It's kind of how faith works. Lord, I trust and believe that you are the healer, that your healing power is at work in me right now. I trust and believe that. And that's where I'm going to stay. I'm not going to worry about how long I have to deal with this. I'm not going to worry about how it's going to happen. I'm not going to worry about anything else. I trust and believe. I don't give it a second thought. If God said it, I believe it. If it's in his word, I believe it. That's how we have to approach it. And just like being at Texas Roadhouse, when you place that order and your food's in the back and you enjoy those rolls again and again and again, when you're in the waiting season, trusting the Lord, don't stop living life. Don't stop enjoying the things that he's made available to you. Don't stop. Keep going. Keep living. Do you know there's something? You have to have the will to live. There has to be a will on the inside. I can't want it for you. You have to have it on the inside of you. So stand in faith and keep living. Keep moving forward. Let's turn to Isaiah 40, 31 real quick. So get ready to wrap up. Isaiah 40, 31. It says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But those, it says, those who wait on the Lord. I watch a lot of these nature shows, and I've seen shows on the eagles in the past, and they talk about how eagles, they soar on like a thermal wind above most other birds. And like you and I, when we wait on the Lord, not on the diagnosis, not on the news or the test results, but when we wait on the Lord, he causes us to rise above and to soar and to move through life in an easier fashion. Waiting and faith go hand in hand, but waiting the right way. Do you know in the waiting, you can have an expectation? Waiting, the expectation is a part of waiting. Anticipation. Lord, I know you're coming through. Lord, I know you're getting ready to show out. Lord, I know my breakthrough's coming. Lord, I know this is going to turn around. There's an expectation on the inside of you. Because God is good and he's faithful. And he's going to come to pass. But we have to understand that waiting sometimes is a part of the process. And waiting and faith go hand in hand. Last scripture, turn to Psalms 27, 13 and 14. Psalms 27, 13 and 14. Verse 13 says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord, and he will give you the strength that you need to endure. Guys, all I can say is God is faithful, and he's good, and he's all of those things to each and every one of us. But we have to trust him, we have to believe his word, and we have to be anchored in his word and know that he's a healer, and that if he healed yesterday, he'll heal today. Does that make sense? God has great things in store for us, and I believe that he's already at work in us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for each and every person in this room. I thank you, Lord God, that your healing power is already at work in us. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you're going to do something great and mighty in our midst. And I thank you that each one of us is going to experience a touch from you. So, Father, as we prepare our hearts, as we build our spirits, as we grow strong in our faith, Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, that our lives will become evident and our walk will become evident to those who know us, Lord God, and they will see the faith in us and they'll see your goodness to us. Father, we thank you for your healing power. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.